Hi, this is Dr. Mike Chupp, your host for the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations, which we call CMDA Matters. One of my favorite parts of being the Chief Exhortation Officer of CMDA is getting to know modern-day authentic servants of Jesus Christ who are in healthcare. Sometimes those servants in healthcare even view themselves as really nothing special, sometimes even ordinary. Such servants are clear examples of how we can trust and obey God in our healthcare careers. Today on the program, my special guest is Dr. Andy Sanders, who was chosen by our Board of Trustees as the 2021 Servant of Christ, an award that our membership association has been giving out for over 50 years. Let's listen in as Dr. Sanders joined me from his home in Augusta, Georgia. Well, today on CMDA Matters, I have invited one of our award winners, an annual award that has been given out, believe it or not, for almost 50 years. That is the Servant of Christ Award. The list is amazing of those who have received this award, some of the who's who among Christian physicians and dentists over the years. Dr. Paul Brand is on that list. Dr. Ernie Sturey, who started the Mission Hospital Tenwick that I worked in for a number of years. Former Surgeon General C. Everett Koop. Dr. Viggo Olson, famous missionary in Bangladesh. And the list goes on and on and on. I could spend the first 2 or 3 minutes talking about past presidents and missionaries and just wonderful servants of Christ that CMDA has recognized, tried to for nearly every year for the last 50 years. And today, my guest was the 2021 recipient of the Servant of Christ, Dr. Andrew Sanders, who graduated from the University of Maryland School of Medicine in 1977, and then did his residency in internal medicine at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center. After serving several years our country as an Army physician, Dr. Sanders then entered private practice in 1988 in Augusta, Georgia. Dr. Sanders and his wife Eileen have 5 children and they have 12 grandchildren. And Dr. Sanders maybe has not arrived in his piano playing career, as our last award recipient, Dr. T. Bob Davis, but he is an aspiring pianist. And I like this description, Dr. Sanders, a very fledgling traditional archer. So welcome to CMDA Matters.
Oh, thank you very much, Mike. What a blessing to be here, and certainly all grace, but a joy to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, you did give a testimony after you were awarded the Servant of Christ of 2021 by our now past president, Dr. Gloria Halverson. And you shared very humbly several things during that testimony that stood out to me. And I remember 3 words even then that also stood out to me because I've been described as this. So I was like, wow, I'm in good company, which is just an ordinary Christian doctor. I love that for the Servant of Christ to say, I'm an ordinary Christian doctor. So the rest of you physicians and dentists out there, there's hope for you because God uses ordinary people like Mike Chupp and Andy Sanders, doesn't he?
Yes, that's exactly how I feel. Yes, very much so.
Well, thank you for joining us today. So tell us just a little bit about how God has brought some unexpected things that turned out to be just unimaginable blessings in your life.
Let me just highlight again what you said, because I really do feel that this is just kind of the story of an ordinary Christian doctor. That's how I see myself through the years. Those other recipients that you mentioned, I see those people in my life. I really revere and honor those people in my life, and they have a special role in God's kingdom work. And I really don't see myself in any way in that company. That I've been a Christian doctor from the beginning by God's grace, and had kind of an ordinary thought about life and kind of an ordinary beginning. So I will say that early on in my medical career, I had a lot of thoughts about my life ahead. I got married in my second year of medical school. So lots of thoughts about marriage, about family, about what I wanted to do in internal medicine. And just like, you know, our listeners, we spent a lot of time thinking, and I did as well. And I had all my thoughts and all my plans. And I even had my biggest thoughts and my biggest plans. But as I look back, I really do see unexpected events. Probably about 10 years into my career, at that point, I was in private practice with a wonderful group, a Christian group here in Augusta, Georgia. Practice was growing, and we had our fifth child. We moved into our big house on 13 acres and a big pond and pool and just a gorgeous place. And things were just going great. And we're as busy and as full as could be and active in church and, you know, concerned about being a Christian doctor and focused on that. So the first unexpected event that took place was some men and I started praying for bringing Bible study fellowship into Augusta, Georgia for men that hadn't existed. My wife had been really involved, so I just kind of tracked in her wake. That actually led to us bringing Bible study fellowship to Augusta, and I was asked to be the teaching leader. And I found myself being the teaching leader of that ministry for 11 years. So kind of to begin with my thoughts and plans, that had never been on my thoughts and plans. My biggest thoughts, my biggest plans never included that. So I guess the first unexpected turn in my life was just seeing God's call to ministry as a doctor in greater ways than I ever imagined, in greater ways than I ever thought possible. For those 11 years, it was probably 20 hours a week to prepare my talk and lead the ministry. So 20 hours a week for those 11 years, and just seeing the joy of it, seeing that God always provided the time. I would have thought it was impossible to add ministry. And then I saw that not only was it possible, but God had it for us. It was a joy, and he provided everything that was needed for ministry in the face of a busy medical practice.
You were able to fit that in, and how many different small groups would you say?
Yeah, so it was one group, and it grew to 350 men. I would give a Bible talk for about 50 minutes every week. That took hours, and probably took 10 hours to prepare every week. I probably gave 350 of those messages. But again, just seeing it grow, the relationships, and I just never had expected that to be a part of my life as a Christian doctor. So I would think one of my first points is that that's not a unique part, that God really has ministry for us as a physician. In medical school, I never heard it talked about that we had ministry ahead as a Christian physician, never really saw it exampled. But I saw it not as some unique thing for me, but that God really has ministry and he makes it work. And it's a joy. It's a labor, but it's a joy. And it might be leading a small group or a little Bible study or Bible study fellowship or ministering to your colleagues, but he has ministry and it works. And it was a unexpected expansion of what I thought it was to be a Christian doctor.
I do think, Andy, that has been one of the incredible legacies that has been given to us who are now leading CMDA. Is that I'm like you, when I was in residency medical school, no one ever put that expectation or possibility on my radar that ministry could be integrated, faith could be integrated into practice. And so you discovered that. But then along the way, a different unexpected turn happened. And this is the one I really am just so curious about, as to the difference between focusing on your Christian life to a focus of building the kingdom of God. Tell us about that.
So the Bible study fellowship was going really well. I remember thinking very specifically that I even said this phrase to myself, that if life had a dashboard, I would press the cruise control button, that I wanted just to keep doing what I was doing. Family was doing wonderfully. It's a Christian family. Our house was in, our life there was great. My wife said to me one time back in those days, she said, "Honey, I'll do anything you want me to do as long as it's in this house. I want us to stay doing just what we're doing." And that's what I wanted. I wanted to be leading Bible study fellowship for the next 20 or 30 years. So I had no idea that when I went to a CME meeting in Boston, that I was going to come back with a completely changed focus, that I was going to come back a completely changed man. My wife had no idea what was about to happen. So I go to Boston. I'm at a Harvard meeting, and I'm by myself at night in my hotel room, and I was reading Hebrews that week and studying through it. And the Lord in his grace just used one verse to just stop me and to stop our life. And so this is the answer to your question. In Hebrews 4:1, there's this verse that seems benign.
God's word being benign. I don't know that I've heard anyone say that before.
It seemed like I was about to read a safe verse, but there should have been like a warning sign, like warning, if you don't like want your life changed, do not read any further. But the verse was, therefore, we must fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any of you may seem to have come short of it. So it's talking about the Israelites in that passage from the writer of Hebrews, and that they failed to enter the rest. They failed to enter Canaan. But it says, now this is not just a historical lesson. It says, fear lest this be your life. Or Christian doctor, fear lest this be your life. Fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any of you may seem to have come short of it. And as I pictured that verse that night and wrote and wrote and wrote in my book, the thought was picturing the people in the wilderness where they missed it. They lived their 40 years in the wilderness and saying to them at the end of the 40 years, so tell me, how was life? And hearing them say, you know, it's been a good life. We've just been busy. Ministry here has been great. There's children's ministry. There's old people ministry. We have the tabernacle. We have church. Our food's been given to us. Our sandals look like they're brand new. There haven't been any wars. It's been a great life. What did we miss? And then in that hotel room, I kind of pictured saying to them, what did you miss? You missed being in partnership with God, who needs nobody to join him, who needs nobody's help, but he gave you the offer to join him for the advance of his kingdom in your day, and you missed it. Mm. And the place you missed was called the rest. Paradoxically.
Yes, that I would say paradoxically. I'm thinking of the children of Israel when they finally did go into the promised land. There was a little bit of conflict that they faced, wasn't there?
Yes, it was blood for the first time, sharp spears for the first time, a completely unknown agenda for the first time. And a comfortable life in the wilderness wasn't the rest. The rest was being in partnership with God for his glory and the building of his kingdom.
That's powerful.
So that was a change. And it was like a subtle change. If you had asked me a week before, what do you want to do? And I would have said, I want to build a great Christian life for God. But really, for the first time in my life, I came back saying, you know, I want to cross the Jordan River, whatever it means, and have God use me for the building of his kingdom. He's giving us an offer, all Christians in our day, to be in partnership with him in our generation for his glory and the advancing steps of his kingdom.
How did Eileen feel about crossing the Jordan River?
Oh, God really used her for the timetable, but it was quick for me. It was a gradual process for Eileen. So I came back home and she thought she was just going to have her same husband. I said, honey, we got to sit and talk. I said, now don't trust me. I know you trust me. You think highly of me, but I got to tell you, I will lead our family to a nice Christian life in the wilderness and think it's good. And that's where I will be. And she said, but things are going so well and Bible study fellowship and da, 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 and our family. And I said, I'm not asking for a change. I'm just asking for God to be leading us for his kingdom work, whatever that might be. So what I said to my wife, I said, how about this? Could we get together with these two couples once a month and get on our knees for an hour and pray for God's glory, pray for his kingdom. Don't pray for any needs or problems. Pray for his kingdom and just raise our hand and say, Lord, please use us for the building of your kingdom. And if he says that's great, my children, keep doing just what you're doing, that will be fine. But I want God to be the one leading us. And I just had never prayed those prayers before. I never had prayed, Lord, use me for your glory. Use me for the building of your kingdom. So we did that every month. And then it was in the course of that year, in the middle of the year, my wife came to me and said, honey, I really think we need to sell our house and just be prepared.
Wow.
It's like, whoa, Lord, how did you? It's like, Lord, I sort of understand how you parted the Red Sea, but how did you do that? And just such a change in her heart. And we put our house up for sale and we didn't know what was going on, but we just kept it. And there was just a growing affection in our heart, just being nurtured that we hadn't really had before, a clarity of focus for God's glory in the building of his kingdom and wanting to be in partnership with him for that.
Andy, I have to ask, what was it about the selling of the house? It's not like there was an open door that came before you. It's not like you had a ministry opportunity that you've explained to us. It was just selling your house.
Yeah, so for us, the selling the house part was, we didn't have any debt or any payments at all except for our mortgage. And I needed the salary that I had to pay that mortgage. So it was to be freed up from that so that if there was a call to do anything or go anywhere, we'd be free to go anywhere or do anything.
So what came next?
That, well, it was a very difficult year. I don't want to make this sound like it was a tumultuous year for me. I was probably up every night till 1 or 2 praying. My wife would be asleep. I was looking at the internet for next steps or no next steps. And there was a lot of emotion throughout that year. At the end of the year, one of the things that happened was I met David Stevens at a meeting, and he ended up emailing me asking me to come on staff with CMDA. And we really felt that at the end of the year, that's really what God was leading us to. We had no idea. So that's where it led. And that was kind of just at that time. So we sold our house, and I left my practice. I still worked a few days just to support myself and came on staff with CMDA.
And that went on for a period of time, but I would like you to segue to what became your passion working with our Medical Education International Ministry. You were on staff, and I know that God blessed the ministry, the local ministry there in Augusta, Georgia, provided for all the resources that you needed. But then came Luke 10:2, I think, into your life.
So things kind of, that was kind of the next unexpected event. During probably the next 10 years or so, CMD Augusta was growing, and we developed a heart for the nations, just knowing that we've been given, all of us Christian doctors, everybody listening to this podcast, has been given the same commission, and how it looks is will be different in our lives, but we've been given one assignment, and to go and make disciples of all nations. So during those years, there were a lot of mission trips and the growth of that, trying to step into new countries, trying to step into unreached countries. So kind of finding myself in Moldova or Siberia or Indonesia, Bangladesh. And I'll just say just real quickly, everything we'll be talking about in the next number of minutes, it was nowhere on my thought list in medical school or leaving. None of this was my plans. None of this was my strategy. And I'm kind of reminded where God says in Isaiah 55, where he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. Or, dear Christian doctor, you can think and think and think, but your thoughts are not my thoughts and your ways are not my ways. And if you let me, you'll see one day that as high as the heavens are than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Because I'd find myself in a prison cell in Eastern Europe. I'd find myself in a cult village. And I'm just talking about an ordinary Christian doctor who never had any big thoughts or strategy. And just finding yourself in a cabin, having this precious time with a cult young lady in Siberia, just thinking, Lord, how did I get here? And if I wasn't here, I would miss this. I'd be missing this right now if you hadn't done what you had done. So after just all these kind of normal medical mission trips and all that, we were growing around the world and trying to disciple team members and develop team leaders, the next unexpected, I'd say the last unexpected, the first unexpected was that ministry really is to have a role in our life as a Christian doctor. And the second being the focus on the kingdom of God and wanting to be used in partnership for that advance. But then the last one I would think was coming back from a mission trip. A team member and I had a conversation about the kingdom of God, which we talked about often in his glory, and said, if this is true, that God's kingdom is going to advance and his glory is going to spread to all the world, cover all the world as the waters cover the sea. If that's true, which it is, and if there are ethnic groups, people groups where God's kingdom is not, which there are, and if we can go, which we can go, then we should go. And there are maybe other people in the world, maybe an Ethiopian farmer right now having these thoughts about God's kingdom, but he can't go. But we're Christian doctors in America, and we can go really to any country, and if that's so, then we should go. So all that led to the next thing that said, if all that's true, then let's pray. Let's just be very intentional. And we took seriously the verse in Matthew 9:38 where God says, therefore, it's a command. Therefore, my dear Christian doctor son coming back from a mission trip, I command you to beseech me. I command you to plead with me that I will send out workers into my harvest fields. So formed another little group, and we had this little group that met every month, just praying that God would open a door and send us, as that verse said, to a harvest field if he wished. He could keep us where we were, but it would be because he chose to keep us where we were, not because we weren't being intentional. So we prayed for, it turned out to be 2 years. We didn't have strategy. We didn't think, we could do this or we could do that. Our heart wasn't to do this. It wasn't to do that. Our heart was that God would somehow glorify himself and build his kingdom in some unreached area through us. As crazy and as how that makes no sense, but if God would wish to be gracious to do that, that he would do that. So anyway, so at the end of 2 years, a call comes from an Eastern European country out of the blue to go there. Our little prayer group goes there. I'm invited to meet with a government official. And the whole thing is just kind of surreal. It's like when I was having this meeting with the Minister of Health, I felt like saying, don't you know who I am? I'm nobody. This meeting shouldn't be taking place. You've mistaken me for some Harvard doctor, or you've mistaken me for some medical leader in America. You don't understand, Minister, that I'm just this ordinary Christian doctor that shouldn't be in this meeting with you. But it was just 2 years of wanting God to use just an ordinary Christian doctor for his glory, whatever that might look like. And as you know, what it ended up looking like was a country opening up to us. We ended up moving there, my wife and I, and living there in a little apartment in the capital for 5 years, and just seeing, again, just seeing things that you just are so thankful you didn't miss. And then that led to stepping into another country.
You inspired many over the years, I think, Andy, to get involved. I think Macedonia and Serbia have been places that many of our CMDA members, leaders, volunteers, you've invited along with you, and you've gone to do ministry there. I do, because our time is not unlimited today, I did want to ask you just to share with our listeners something. I don't know if you even remember. I led my first Medical Education International team, a group of four of us, to go teach in Cameroon at Mbingo Baptist Hospital back in early 2018. And I knew, I'd heard from the director of MEI that you had a protocol, you had a way that you prepared team members for service overseas, and you provided me with some great study materials, some fasting suggestions. Just talk to us about what was your routine, and why was it so important that you spent so much time preparing your teams before they went to Macedonia?
I guess just some of the thoughts would be, as a team leader, not to be let off task, that the task of these works isn't what it could be thought to be the task, that the task isn't to build a medical work or a dental work or to care for patients or, you know, all the visible things that are ahead, which are important, and they're to be done with exceeding excellence. But to keep the focus on these teams, that the task ahead, however this is going to be done, is God's glory in the building of his kingdom, to be making disciples and advancing his kingdom. And that's the focus. Every time I would step into a country, and very specifically before these two countries that you mentioned in Eastern Europe, when I stepped into the second country, Serbia, this was exactly what was on my mind. I said, Lord, I'm a doctor. I'm stepping into this country. You can use me as a doctor. But somehow, I don't know how this is going to happen, but may this step into this country be for your glory and the advance of your kingdom. So just wanting that to be what takes place from every mission trip, every MEI trip, that, Lord, this is a team. This is our assignment. This is what we know. What we don't know is how in the world are you going to use this for your glory and the advancement of your kingdom? So wanting the team to be focused on that, to be abiding in Christ, to be knowing that the work is really a work of God, that we want there to be eternal fruit. So it would just lead to just thinking, what do you do to keep the team united together in Christ, growing together in Christ? And then realizing as a team leader that also one of the blessings of that role is to be able to, by God's grace, have some role in encouraging these men and women, these team members, when they go back home, to be taking new steps in their journey with God on the other side of the Jordan River for the building of this kingdom, wherever he has them. And I would sometimes have a team book that we would read ahead of time, a Tozer book or something. And I worked through the years to have devotions that I thought would really stir hearts and focus us rightly. And so we would do a 40-day team fast before each of the trips and each of the teams came, where a team member would fast for 24 hours. The rest of the team would be praying for that team member. Other people around the country would be praying for that team member and joining the fast. So it's kind of an expanded body. We'd fast for 40 days, and then each of those days there'd be one of these devotions to turn our hearts to the Lord, his glorious kingdom, keep our focus on the right thing. And this kind of just be humbled during that, the entire time in the country, just knowing that God has so much more than what our eyes can see, and just wanting him to work in the team members' lives.
Dr. Sanders, you are a poster doctor for an ordinary Christian doctor and our tagline for CMDA, changing hearts in healthcare. And so frequently want to think we're going to go out there and change other people's hearts. But you've given us a testimony today that really chiefly CMDA is about physicians, dentists, PAs, NPs, the long list under our tent of healthcare professionals, God changing our hearts and giving us that incredible privilege of being servants of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Dr. Sanders and Servant of Christ 2021, for joining me today and for challenging my heart. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother, and thank you, CMDA. God's using the work greatly.
Well, I hope that you were challenged and so encouraged by the testimony of Dr. Andy Sanders and his wife, Eileen, whom I believe have led extraordinary lives and have been used by God in so many ways to advance His kingdom in medicine. Among the many CMDA members and champions that Dr. Andy invited to join him along the way were a married physician couple, Drs. Tim and Maureen Gall. Tim and Maureen have taken the baton from Andy in the Republic of Northern Macedonia and have been leading the charge for the Medical Education International, or as we call it, MEI, ministry for a number of years. I invited Dr. Tim to give us a short testimony about what God is doing right now in Northern Macedonia, even through the COVID-19 pandemic. Today, unlike the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16, you are not going to be urgently challenged through a vision in the night, but you are going to hear it on CMDA Matters. Come over to Macedonia and help us.
Hey everybody, this is Tim Gall. My wife and I, Maureen, have the privilege of traveling to Macedonia with the North Macedonia MEI project. Andy Sanders started this project 7 years ago, and we collaborate with physicians, residents, and students, teaching them medicine and also sharing our faith in the country of Macedonia. We had a great spring session, even though we were limited by the pandemic. We invited students to come and join us with the permission of the medical leadership, and they came in huge numbers. Every day it seemed like there were more and more who wanted to come to the bedside and be able to learn more about medicine. We spent time in the endocrine ward, the pulmonary ward, cardiology, GI, and even the trauma hospital. Students would come, residents as well, and we would teach wherever we had an opportunity. In the evening, we'd show procedural skills, and we even got a chance to get into the medical school amphitheater to give some lectures to the students. And you'll be able to do the same, and even more so, because the country's being well vaccinated and is very careful to help protect us as we do our teaching. Who are we inviting? Everybody. If you want to teach, there's a place for you. The students are happy to have somebody come alongside them that cares and wants to share their lives in a mentoring relationship that hopefully will grow for years to come. When do we start? Well, September 15 through November 21 for the fall session. And next spring, we're going to begin in mid-March and go through the end of May. We'd like to have people from all specialties. And if you can stay for 5, 10, or even more days, we'll have plenty for you to do. Maureen and I will do our best to put you where you're most comfortable and most gifted, but we hope to stretch you a little bit too. We make some visits to local homes, sharing our faith with our missionary collaborators. And we also have a good time going to villages throughout the country and teaching there as well. So, think about coming to Macedonia this fall. One special announcement, we've gotten the opportunity to build a medical school library. Well, actually, transform a space that's been given to us by grateful parents of a medical student. There, we'll have room for 20 to 30 students in the conference room. We'll be able to have a simulated patient exam room, a small quiet area, and a kitchen for coffee. Yes, coffee is essential. So come and join us in Macedonia. Have a great summer, and may God bless you all.
Choosing to forsake your own life in pursuit of advancing God's kingdom, well, it certainly is not easy. I have two books that I share with students and resident groups and others who ask me on a regular basis about the best books that I've read on the call of God. My top recommendation is the book entitled The Call by Mr. Oz Guinness. Oz Guinness tells us that calling is the truth, that God calls us to himself so decisively that everything we are, everything we do, and everything that we have is invested with a special dynamism and devotion lived out in response to God's summons and service. With over 100,000 readers to date, The Call is for all who desire a purposeful, intentional life of faith. Well, the other book that I recommend zeroes in on the marks of a supernaturally changed heart. This is one of the questions the Apostle Paul addresses as he writes to the church in Corinth. You know, he's not after some superficial outward tinkering, but instead, he's wanting a deep-rooted, life-altering change that takes place on the inside. In an age where pleasing people, puffing up your ego, and building your resume are seen as the methods to make it, the Apostle Paul calls us to find true rest in blessed self-forgetfulness. You can find out what this is all about in Tim Keller's little book, The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness, The Path to True Christian Joy. You can order your copy of one or both of these books today at cmda.org/store or by calling 888-230-2637 today. Last week, we did something a little different. We released not one, but two episodes of CMDA Matters, with one being my interview from last year with Dr. Fuzz Rana of Reasons to Believe and author of the book Humans 2.0. Dr. Rana is going to be joining us for the next installment of our webinar series with Dallas Theological Seminary. Would you join us on August 14th for a panel discussion on the topic of transhumanism with Dr. Fuzz Rana, Dr. Bill Cheshire, and Dr. Ben Mitchell? You will also have the opportunity to receive continuing education credit, as we will be hosting the webinar on our CMDA Learning Center. Simply go to cmda.org/DTSwebinar, one word, in order to register today. We are very grateful to Dr. Farr Curlin of Duke University and Dr. Kathy Scarborough, who's in Birmingham, Alabama, as they joined us in creating our new Faith Prescriptions video teaching series. On August 21st at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, we want to give you a taste of the Faith Prescriptions online course that we are calling A Loading Dose of Faith Prescriptions. The program will be moderated by Dr. Bill Griffin, who was the program director, and this webinar we trust will inspire as well as equip you to address your patient's spiritual needs with confidence and intentionality. There will be a live Q&A to follow with Dr. Farr and Dr. Kathy. There's no charge for this event. You can just go to our link in the show notes to register. And if you are not already a CMDA member, you can use the promo code FaithRX0821. Well, our Women Physicians and Dentists in Christ ministry is over 25 years old, and they will host an in-person conference for 2021, and it's being held September 30th through October 3rd in Grand Rapids, Michigan. This year, our attendees will have the opportunity for the first time to obtain 16 hours of CME, not only through the live sessions, but also through enduring credits. Once again, if you'd like information on speakers or to register, just visit cmda.org/events or click on the link in our show notes today. Well, we've arrived in a new month, the month of August, which means that we have a new book of the month. If you haven't listened to last week's bonus episode, I'd like to ask you to go back and listen to it because we are offering Dr. Fuzz Rana's book, Humans 2.0, as our August Book of the Month. We've made it easy for you. Just click our Book of the Month link in the show notes, or you can just go to cmda.org/Book of the Month, one word, and make your donation of any amount to CMDA today. We would love to thank you with a copy of Dr. Rana's fascinating book as we come up to our August webinar. Well, as always, you can find out more information and register for any of these events, as well as others online, including the upcoming fall 501 coaching courses at cmda.org/events, or you can find the links in our show notes today. Well, as I bring us to the finish line today for this podcast, I'm reminded of John chapter 14, verse 23, where our Lord Jesus told us, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching." But how many of us would be willing to sell our homes like Andy and Eileen Sanders did and disrupt our comfortable lives in order to follow God's clarion call? As Christian healthcare professionals, I know that growing in faith and obedience is of vital importance to you. If you feel drawn by today's Macedonian invitation, allow me to invite you to take a trip with CMDA to the Republic of Northern Macedonia. Through the months of September and October, you will have 3 opportunities to join one of our MEI short-term teams. Just click the link in our show notes or go to cmda.org/MEI and click on the MEI opportunities button. You'll also see several other opportunities to places like Cuba or Egypt, where you could bring the hope and healing of Christ to the world through medical education in Jesus' name. Answering God's call to make disciples in all nations matters so much to CMDA and CMDA Matters. We pray that it is a top priority for you, just as it has been for Dr. Andy Sanders, our 2021 Servant of Christ Award winner. Thank you for listening today. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you hit that like button and subscribe? Next week, don't miss my conversation with one of America's most respected voices on free speech and freedom of religion, who is Princeton University professor, Dr. Robbie George. He'll guide us through the current free speech environment that our CMDA campus chapters are navigating, both our undergraduate and our graduate schools. Professor George will dispel some of the misinformation that is out there about so-called hate speech. Some of it might just surprise you, so please join me right here next week on CMDA Matters. That is, of course, if Christ doesn't make his glorious return in the meantime. God bless you big time, my friend.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.